c'est toi qui les taxes. Comment on est smoté en quatre. Hala toi. Here with my cousin Saya.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's go.
Just take a quick break, but now we got on our special guest. He goes by the name of Saya Bagola.
Let's say.
Before we get into the questions and we dive deep into it, I'm going to get Saya to just briefly introduce yourself. What's your name, your age, where you from,
what you do.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
So what's going on, y'all? My name is Saya Bagola. I'm running a barbershop back in Tonga. Small town cuts.
Mad. Yep. What's your favorite hobby?
I play rugby a little bit.
This guy's content was popping off, so it was very interesting. Because he started a barbershop in Tonga. And for us in Australia, it's every Islander's dream to start something somewhere.
Back in the motherland.
Back in the islands, you know. And very interesting. And I do remember, like someone was saying, he doesn't even cut hair, but he was able to start the fade. And very interesting. But he actually was brought up in America. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm originally from California, East Palo Alto, California. And so the name Small Town Cuts, the city I'm from, is the nickname is Small Town Cemetery.
That's a very
shout
big
out
name.
Small Town Cemetery.
Yeah, shout out to the Bay.
Yeah.
And in Tonga, when I opened the barbershop, I figured I was trying to rep my city.
But
Small Town Cemetery, Small Town Cuts.
Yeah.
That's a perfect opportunity. It's a perfect way to always represent where you're from. You know, every time you run a business, we never hear the end of it. Every time someone starts a clothing brand, you hear about it. You know, what's your story? What are you representing? Where are you from? So, big shout out, man. Big shout out.
Thank you.
And I guess it's always important with every business to have a background story, you know.
Exactly.
Behind. And now we heard from the brother that it's for his town back at home. What would drive you to make it the barbershop? Was it something that you were always dreaming of when you were a kid? Or?
Not really. Yeah. When I was living in America, I was just going to work, you know?
I
never really thought of opening a business, or I never thought I was going to open a barbershop.
Wow. Yeah.
Until I moved to Tonga and I wasn't going to work like a 9 to 5.
Yeah.
It's a farm, you know?
Because they get paid like $5 an hour out there. And if I wanted to work a 9 to 5, I would have just went back to America.
Yeah.
I thought of the barbershop. Like, I always liked the culture. Like, I don't know how the barbershop is out here, but back in America, it's like, it's therapy, you know? You getting a fresh fade. You talking about life or whatever. That barber, he cleaning you up. So
yeah,
that's right.
I thought of that in Tonga. So yeah,
that's a very inspirational story. I was gonna ask, when you said that your area is called Small Town Cemetery, maybe there's a big story behind that.
So in 1992, the city I'm from, East Palo Alto, it was they called it like the murder capital.
I knew it, bro. See, you're smart.
So it comes with a lot of pain, struggle.
Yeah.
And you know, people was just trying to get out.
Yeah.
But 92, I was still a baby, so you know, I was I don't really know much about all the gang culture. Well, not really gang. It was just a lot of gangsters out there and whatever they were doing.
A lot of shootings and killings.
I think I left East Palo Alto when I was like 13, 14. Yeah. I moved to New Zealand for a little bit, for like a couple of years. Then I went to Tonga. I was bouncing back and forth. And by the time I went back, I was a little older. And I was, they had that life, the street life. And I was not really around that. All my friends and stuff was doing all that stuff, but not really me.
Awesome news. Tongan culture is
is there a lot of islanders up there?
In East Palo Alto, there's hella Tongans.
There's
hella Tongans. Like, you don't even want to go anywhere because you don't want to see no Tongans.
Damn.
But yeah, it ain't even that crazy. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
We always, here in Australia, for us islanders, I don't know if you've seen the rugby league, the NRL.
Yeah.
That's obviously the biggest thing here for us. If you don't make the NRL here, you're either a concreter or you're at the pub as security. Or you're in jail or on a podcast. Any one of those things. In there, I heard that the football over there is big. Is that the case?
Yeah, yeah. The football out there is big. A lot of Tongans play. They've been doing good too. I mean, a lot of back then, not really, but now there's like a lot of Tongan kids coming out of high school, going into college, and making it to the NFL.
Hey man, shout out to those Tongans, bro, working hard to make it to the NFL. You guys are shedding more spotlight on our culture, man. Big ups, T Gang, all the way, baby.
I remember when I was young, because we mentioned in another podcast that we grew up in Tonga as well. So we were born here, but then our parents took us there because I think they wanted to raise us in the harsh environments to toughen up. Maybe. But anyways, we grew up there, and then we were kind of like, I get what you mean, because the work life there is pretty LOA.
Yeah.
Like especially the farm life, you know? Yeah. Like
very hands-on, man.
Getting the ufi and the talo and all that stuff, bro. Yeah. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the weak boys, man.
Yeah.
It's not for the soft boys, bro.
It'll probably be hard for somebody new to move in.
Yeah.
But growing up there, yeah. You get used to a lot. Like, maybe shoo-ins every night. And you're just chilling like it's normal.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary, man. That could leave a traumatic experience on some individuals. Just waking up and probably hearing a shitting going off, and you're just probably walking to school or something. And you're just like,
I mean, now it's better, but back then.
Would you say the opportunities there is diverse? Like, you know, the opportunities to start businesses or even work a normal job?
I think now it is.
Yeah.
Back then it wasn't. Yeah, I think you guys get paid a lot, or like the jobs, it's like $30
wage? That's like average.
Yeah.
Not in America. I think it's like 18 or something.
Really? Is that what's a high end job like? Like
probably like 50, 60.
Damn.
Probably it could be more.
Yeah.
It could be more, but
so here, that's a lot. Over here in construction. Just in a labor job, you can reach $50 an hour in construction. So, wow.
Can you tell us a bit about your experience where you thought you would have let your family down and people around you?
Man, honestly, drinking. That took over. Like, some weekends I'll be drinking from like Friday to Sunday.
Damn.
And then all the money I made is just gone. I wake up Monday like,
damn. I think islanders and alcohol are never a good mix, eh?
Man.
Because we don't know how to take, like the Palangis, they know how to just, you know, enjoy it. But for the most case, I feel like we always, just always go overboard, eh?
Yeah, man, in America, bruh, alcohol and Tongans do not mix. They can't have them anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like a key. Alcohol is like the key to the horse. Once you put
it unlocks the stallion. Yeah,
sometimes you're the unicorn and sometimes you're the stallion.
Most of the time, the stallion comes out. Yeah. When it starts hitting midnight, then that's when the stallion comes out.
When it's the unicorn, then he got to go. so I just got married a couple
congratulations.
Months ago.
Congratulations. Let's go.
And it's beautiful. I have a son, so I just... my time is just always with them now.
Yeah.
And then if I go out drinking, like, that just takes me back two steps.
Yeah.
So I'm not really into it anymore. I mean, if it's there, like, then.
Well, lucky you said that because we got a...
How did you manage to step away from the alcohol and balance your marriage, balance your kids?
I just, like, when I look back to it, like, when I go drinking and stuff... Mm. I just do the dumbest stuff. Yeah. I mean, first of all, I just make me look dumb.
Yeah.
And then all the money that I saved up just goes with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wake up Monday like...
Just feeling like shit.
Regret.
And then now since I have my wife and my son, like if I go drinking, then I wake up Monday and we all have nothing.
That's an eye opener right there.
I had to my bad.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
I had to put my big boy pants on. Like, I can't do this no more.
Yeah.
If I keep doing it, I'm going to end up losing him.
Yeah.
I have to stop doing all that.
I mean.
And that's the reality of it.
That's all it takes, bro. Just massive self-awareness. and you know, it's time to put the big pants on and you start realizing, you know, reality in life, you know, your wife, your kids and everything, you know, much more important things
and
to
they,
life.
And they'd be the proudest ones, you know. Yeah. I know my missus is like, she's the first one cheering me on from the side, you know.
Yeah,
that sure. Like I'm doing well and stuff. Mm. Like she was also the first one biting in my ear when I was drinking as well. So yeah, it's yeah. like it's good for her mental health as well, seeing us do better.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that's what they really want. That's all they want. They want to see us prosper, and they want to see us be the man of the family, you know?
A lot of us get addicted to certain things like alcohol. You know, you've heard a lot of stories of the boys on ice. And I feel like it's a massive problem that Tongans and Islanders in general go through. We tend to like things that help us forget about everything.
Forget about and, life,
yeah. Yeah, like 100%. The doctor was saying here, like, it's all fun and games that you eventually in that situation where you could lose a loved one. So big ups to you.
Big ups, man.
Any Tongan entrepreneur is an inspiration because you even know as well, it doesn't happen all the time.
Doesn't happen,
quitting alcohol doesn't happen all the time. So you've hit two birds with one stone.
Two milestones, it's massive.
So good on you, Doggo. Yeah. Did you always have a business mind and know that, like, you were going to start a business? Or did someone teach you how to be able to run businesses and understand the finances?
Well, when I, like I said before, like when I was in America, I wasn't even thinking about all that.
Yeah.
Until I went to Tonga and everything kind of just fell on my lap. Wow. With the whole barbershop. I just thought about it because I love the culture, like going to the barbershop, getting faded up, talking with the barber, chilling over there.
Mm.
And I asked one of the barbers over there, how does the shit all work?
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
And he was explaining to me, and I was going to go get something to eat one day. And so I pull up to park, and the spot where my shop is at now, it was like for rent. Like right there. It was just like,
wow,
like,
windows like right in front of you.
Damn.
So I was like, God, is this you?
Yeah.
Jeez. Hey, man, wow.
And then got the number, called, did all that. And when I started, it was some bullshit at the start. I had no idea what I was doing. Nothing.
Oh, so it started from fresh, the furniture, everything. Yeah. You had to build everything. Yep,
all of that. But that was okay, doing setting up the barbershop and stuff. Yeah. But when I had to hire workers and do all with the money and stuff, I had no idea what I was doing.
Mm.
I had some workers come in, they weren't able to pay me. They would be stealing stuff, calling in.
Yeah,
I was like, man, this guy reminds me of myself when I used to call in to work. Well, this is how it feels.
That's how it feels. Hey, karma makes its way back some way, bro.
Man, that's actually a very big chest to me because
crazy. I never thought about it like that, eh?
Yeah. A lot of Islanders, to be honest, I've heard it a few times. A lot of Islanders from here dream about going and starting back in the islands.
The phase that we're doing is crazy.
It's mad. So, tell us about your experience getting it all together. Hey, how did you stay motivated to keep pushing forward and getting it actually done, like making it happen?
Even after they stole your money.
my dad helped me a lot. So he helped me set up the barbershop.
Mm.
But he's busy with his whatever stuff he got going on in Tonga, so I just had to do it myself. I got just friends in America asking them, barbers in America asking them for help. But yeah, at the start it was bad. People I was hiring, I didn't even know. You know what I mean? Like,
you just hiring anyone.
Whoever want to work, come work.
How did you find workers in Tonga? That would have been.
Bro, that's what I was going to say. That's going to be crazy.
In Tonga, there's a lot of barbers. There's actually a lot of good barbershops. They just. They're just probably not good at marketing. But there is a lot of good barbershops in Tonga, and a lot of barbers. And, you know, there's nothing to do out there. So, like, all them niggas be over there just cutting hair. They be, 12 years old already know how to cut hair. So, there's a lot of barbers, just no work.
I just remember we used to get haircuts from the boys in Lavenga with the little blade. They used to take off the blade sharpener, and they used to use that to box our hair when we were young in primary school.
I'm actually from Lavenga.
Yes, sir!
Right there, man.
Yes, sir! Yeah, I think I'm Mali, yeah,
that's
bro.
The school, yeah, that's the school I went to.
Damn.
I was watching your video too, and you were saying you're from Laymat.
Yeah,
that's where my mom's from.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Oh yeah, bro, that's crazy. Yeah.
That's what was your experience going from America straight away to Tonga, then you're in school there? What was that like?
Because the adjustment is crazy. It's like
it was just the food. Like in America, you know, we got McDonald's.
Yeah,
and then when I went to La Venga, we ain't got nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm looking at all the boys and they just chilling. I'm like, y'all niggas ain't hungry. I'm like, bruh. But it was a big ass difference.
Yeah.
Out there in living in Tonga, but in Tonga they're grateful for whatever. They'll have like the smallest things and
they find happiness in anything. Good,
you know. I'm like, damn, I want a whole ass pizza for myself.
You probably would have been shedding a lot of kilos really fast too. Especially being in a place like La Venga, man, all the boys were skinny, man. You'd know why they're skinny if you're there.
Everyone had that athletic build.
If someone, bro.
I remember those days. And do the boys still train every night at La Venga? Like they used to have boys used to train everywhere.
But not anymore. It's pretty dead.
But do the boys still walk around bare feet?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Who's not sending shoes? Someone send shoes to Tonga.
With all the Chinese that have been migrated there, you would have thought they would have all had slippers and shoes by now.
Nah, I think some of them just prefer it. How are they still walking bare feet?
It's part of their life now, you know.
All these years.
Fuck, man. Hey, some of those boys have some perfecta feet, man.
Yeah, bro.
Fuck, it's hard, like bulletproof hard.
Sometimes we'll try to fit in with them and we'll try to walk bare feet, but we'll be doing this. And when the boys turn around and look at us, we'll just walk like this.
A lot of people are very shy when it comes to asking people for help. Can you tell us what motivated you to just be inquisitive? They say like asking for things. How did that help you? And who helped you?
Well, the barbershop I used to go to in Tonga, when I was in Tonga, I wasn't working.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I got to figure out a way to make money because I'm over here using my mom and dad's money.
Oh, yeah.
This nigga got to go. But while I was in Tonga, I was trying to figure out a way out to make my own money.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to do the 9-to-5. So I was like, I got to start something.
Yeah.
And the barbershop, because I was going to the barbershop every week, you know?
Yeah.
And then I thought of that too, like, so I asked one of the barbers there. He was telling me about it, and
how much did it take to like actually get it started up from the floor up, like to get the place on lease, just like the base foundation price? How much cost would it?
So in Tonga, like it's easier to start a business.
Oh well.
Compared to if I was opening a barbershop in America, that shit would have been. You know,
a lot of
like different kind
permits,
of lights,
insurances,
permits, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So in Tonga, like they don't need all that.
They're just like, give me the
bond.
Oh wow!
So I found the spot. They gave me the bond. It was like 2,000.
That's it.
Crazy.
Tongan, 2,000 Tongan.
It's 2,000 Tongan, dude. Yeah.
Wow. So that, and then I just had to, you know, change the spot, buy the chairs, mirrors.
And did you get that like shipped over? Or
I got it from out here.
Oh.
Yeah, so my sister stays out here, so I came over there to her, and they helped me get everything.
Damn, and how long, the time span did it take from when you saw the first shop to it actually starting to, to work out?
Probably like 3 months.
Wow.
That's not that long,
from opening? That's not long. From opening it.
After opening, like I was going through all these different employees coming in.
Yeah.
And I would leave Tonga. And it would just be some random ass people. I was just like, man, as long as because for my barbershop, they pay chair rentals.
So you charge a chair.
Yeah.
I know this because I'm looking at opening a barbershop in Queensland, and that's, I'm using that business concept. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to rent out a chair for like, say, $500 a week or something like that. And I got like 5-6 chairs.
Yeah.
I know about that business concept.
Yeah. I like that. So instead of me dealing with all the money and trying to pay them and all that stuff, nigga, you gotta pay.
Yeah, that's right. So that way they can make their money too.
That's mad.
So for those that don't know what the chair rental is, basically, you charge you charge a chair for the barber. So let's say I charge $500 for a chair. So the barber would pay me $500 a week for that chair. And then anything on top of that, he keeps like for all his haircuts. So,
yeah.
And he can make way more than that. They can make heaps more. And in that way that they're kind of their own entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah.
So it actually pushes the entrepreneurship status as well for these guys as well. So yeah, I think that's the way, eh?
Yeah.
That's the best way.
I think they do it different in other barbershops, but I like the chair rental.
I did remember this guy said he didn't even like giving haircuts, or he didn't do haircuts.
Yeah.
But the bro had a vision, the most important thing. And I feel like that's what all we have, all of us have to do. Because there was a lot of times where I didn't like what I was doing, but there was an opportunity that I saw. Then there was a vision that came into place. Mm. So just like, oh, mate, he didn't like, you didn't like cutting hair, he had a vision. And it's all about just making it happen.
Making bro. The move, so.
And now we were able to catch him because he's in Australia. Tell us about that experience. You're coming, you're moving around the world, basically.
He's like a millionaire.
People hear the word owner and think that.
They think that you're doing good,
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Tell us about your experience coming into Australia.
Mm.
Yeah, I love it out here in Australia.
Yeah.
So I've been here a couple times.
Yeah.
And man, you guys got the best McDonald's. Compared to the McDonald's in America, it's terrible.
Well,
hey, I heard they it's different, isn't it?
I think they got to put like some rubber or some shit in.
the size?
Oh yeah, so yeah, in America it's bigger, but it's not as good as as the one here.
Mm. I think it's the kangaroo inside the Big Macs, does it?
I just saw Donald Trump was I think it was pretty pissed off that we didn't take the beef deal because we didn't want Americans' beef. We wanted to just keep our own beef.
That's better.
Trump, it's going crazy over there, right?
I think they might stop Donga from going into America.
No way.
Yeah, so I think we find out around August or something. Hopefully it doesn't pass.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Tongans did to Trump.
So you've talked about your favorite food. Is there anything else that you love about living in Australia?
Man, just I think Sunday I ate a kebab.
Yeah. Oh. Was that?
Yeah, that was fire.
Was it Spaniards kebabs?
Yeah, I don't even know.
The kebabs,
kebabs are cracker. They're mad. My wife is half Samoan, half Lebanese, so I'm always around it's kind of like a Lebanese Middle Eastern cuisine. You guys don't have kebabs in America?
They probably do, but not in California.
Where you guys?
It's not as big.
Yeah,
but because Lebanese is I don't think I met a Lebanese in America.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I just thought about it. I've never seen a Lebanese that speaks American.
Yeah, in our area, a lot of them are.
Especially in West Sydney, there's a lot of the Lebanese influence and Middle Eastern in general. Yeah. Afghan, Iraq. But in America, there's not much Middle Eastern.
I haven't, man.
It's
I think the Lebanese here is the Mexicans.
That's true.
We got hella of them everywhere. And then the food too. We eat a lot of Mexican food. Yeah.
Is there any food from America you think that needs to be here, so I can open it up?
Mexican food.
Yeah.
What's your view on Donald Trump? He's been popping off on the social media he's everywhere. And I actually watch this guy a lot.
He's pretty ruthless on Twitter, This guy's ruthless, bro.
Yeah, I don't know much about politics like that, but yeah, he's doing his thing. Just don't stop talking from going, because I got to go back.
I think he's passing a bill on most of the immigrants coming over, and he's like, stop those guys too, the Tongans, stop them as well.
You notice any differences between the islanders here and the islanders in America?
Man, the islanders here, y'all are more fit. Just built. Like I went to 21st on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I think Saturday, yeah.
Mm.
And I see all the niggas over there. They're all big and dressed well, you know.
Yeah.
Like in America, It's the opposite. Japan is it's ghetto. Like, it was, everything was proper. It was hella nice, clean. Shit, in America, you walk, people drinking in the parking lot, drinking in the hallway. Everything is just ghetto.
Yeah.
Compared to over here, everything over here is like cleaner. You guys just do everything.
Yeah.
And it's nicer too.
Yeah. I think the culture here is a bit more different. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't been in America, but in here, the culture, we're definitely shifted to a more summery kind of like, everyone is always jogging and like working out. And
there's a powerful stigma in Sydney. There's some type of agenda, you know, where as a man growing up in Sydney, it's always competitive, you know, you're looking at the other man. And, you know, you always want to be fitter or stronger or smarter. Or you always want to have more money. There's a powerful, you know, that type of agenda in Sydney.
And
I feel like.
Also, I guess we've always been very sport dominated as well here in Australia, especially the Islanders. They play a big part in the big sports that we play here, especially rugby.
Yeah,
rugby league
that.
Is dominated by Islanders. All the big superstars are all Pacific Islanders.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned before, if the Islanders that don't get into NRL, they're usually doing a physical job anyway, like security or construction. So either way, like it's always been something that we need to be fit. I know for a lot of the time on the streets, the Islanders here in Sydney, they were used as the muscle when it comes to big criminal organizations. When you see Islanders in a group, most of the time they're used as the muscle of the group. Yeah. So they always have to be physically capable. And it's always been that type of thing. I know back in the days, we were always being relied on to take on the fights, the one-on-ones. Yeah. Like if a group had some Islanders in their gang, you're like, oh yeah, they're sweet. Yeah, they got Islanders, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to be a challenge because there's Islanders, because they would always be the fighters of their crew. I think now it's kind of shifted slowly towards, is there a lot of scraps in America? Like, you guys scrap a lot in the streets? Is it just these ones? No one's bothered for just that in boom, America. Boom. It's
just probably if it was like a Tongan against another Tongan, they'll probably go. But if it's like something like you going against like a Mexican, they even tell you too. They're like, you don't think I'm gonna fight you. They'll tell you straight up, like, nigga, I'll shoot your ass.
Often Tongans fist fighting each other.
Yeah.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. I think, man, because I've been like New Zealand here.
Yeah.
Tonga. I feel like Tongans are all the same. Like, you know, some can fight, some can't, and So, but like other ethnicities, they think like all Tongans are all scary and they can all fight.
Yeah.
Like, nah. I know this other nigga. He don't even know how to do
that. Oh, shit.
Is there anything I should be expecting moving into America as an Aussie?
Give us the do's and don'ts. Let's just say if we were going to move there next week, give us a little rundown on what we should be looking forward to.
I think like if you guys go there and you guys tell them from Australia, you guys are from Australia, everything would be good.
Oh, really?
I think it's just more like an American.
That was I already took that as a warning. So I gotta go there. I gotta tell everyone.
I gotta wear Australian flags everywhere.
You know English.
And how does, because before this road, we heard him talking and we were shocked at his accent. And I'm just thinking now, and vice versa, he's probably shocked at our accent. We probably sound like a goose or something.
If you guys go to America too, everybody will be, especially because y'all Tongan.
Yeah.
He's gonna be like, damn, you guys sound like you guys are like from the UK or something. I don't even know the difference. There's a difference, right?
Yeah.
Australian and
I say you can't tell the difference.
Nuh-uh.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't even tell the difference with the New Zealand, Australia.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But so, people here say that the New Zealand accent's hella ugly, and then. But I don't know. It sounds the same.
What do you guys think?
We were just talking about New Zealand before. That's actually interesting because we, us Australians and New Zealanders, we always like, we mimic each other and we try and mock each other.
Yeah.
And now we're coming from a third party. You say, bro, you both sound the same.
That's funny, man.
That's crazy.
Has there been any sort of Sydney or Australian slang that you've sort of learned along the way when you've come here?
I think I heard like Eshe.
Eshe.
That's a massive one.
Yeah, that's a big
man,
one.
Man, that probably sounds weird coming from.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
It's just like, it's more of an expression, like, like, you know how when you're happy, it's like an expression, like, you know, how sometimes you go, yes, sir, like, happy. Yeah, it's kind of like that, like, yes, sir.
That's the best word. Interesting. I did, because a lot of Sydney boys use Pig Latin.
Yeah, that's what I noticed.
Do
you guys use that?
No. So we use Pig Latin a lot, and used to use a lot for code language, speaking to the boys, like criminals. And what I did hear from one TikToker, he said that SJ actually came from sesh. The Pig Latin word for sesh, which is mean like smoking up with the boys or having a drink. The Pig Latin word for sesh is eshay. So back then when the boys used to have a sesh, it used to be like a chant, like eshay.
That's hectic.
Someone told me it was yes, like it started from someone saying SCA, but I think that guy was a spin-off. Bro, if I ever see SCA you again, man, I'm gonna slap you. You liar. That makes more sense, bro.
Yeah.
It's starting to become a bigger thing. It's not in Australia, it's more Sydney. Sydney-based, the SCA.
Is it like different, like Sydney? I mean, like the culture, like the gang.
Melbourne and Brisbane?
Yeah, like the gang culture and stuff. Or is it all the same?
I don't think too much. To
Sydney and Melbourne?
Like the differences. I think Sydney has always had a really deep underworld syndicate. Like that, it goes.
But the underworld here, yeah, is
the underworld in Sydney. It reaches far beyond like back in the days. With Melbourne and Brisbane, I don't really know the history of. I really always thought that they were pretty good cities until recent. There's been shootings and like crime syndicates, but Sydney has always been known for the underworld activities. America. Do they do the Bloods and Crips in America?
Yeah.
Bloods and Crips. Kind of like the Bloods and Crips. And like you have some cartels and things like that. In Australia, bikies were, I don't know, do you guys have motorcycle clubs in America?
Yeah.
And are they dominant in the gang culture or just? Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So over here, I'm pretty sure Comancheros, it branched from someone that came from America, because don't quote me on that, but I watched a TV show. What TV show was it? Sons of Anarchy or something?
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy. I remember watching that.
Yeah, I watched a TV show, but I think that gang culture, the motorcycle clubs, it actually originated from America. I don't know, but...
Yeah, but there was big talking street gangs here in Sydney. I think all the way back from UTB. Even further than that, talking the 90s, early 2000s, so street gang was becoming a very popular thing. And even the gang culture that we were raised up around, we started getting more involved in a street gangs. And maybe you would have heard of it. A lot of us got involved in postcode wars and things like that. So
yeah, I seen that while I was still in America.
That's crazy. That's big.
Did people in America watch that as well, that 21 District?
Damn.
That was
tight.
That was crazy. Yeah. It took the country by shock, because it's always a big thing if you see, like, if people get into a road rage, right, and it's just two normal people, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever. But if two big islander gorillas come out of their cars to face each other, everyone like, oh, damn, look. And that's kind of the effect that we had because you always had crime syndicates and bikie gangs, but then you had an islander-dominated gang against another islander-dominated gang, and everyone was just like, damn, you know what I mean? You had that crazy kind of effect. And is there a lot of islanders in the gang culture up there?
Yeah. Well, I'm from in the Bay. We don't bang color. Like Crips and Bloods, or probably some, I don't know. But in East Palo Alto, there's no Crips and Bloods. But that's more like in LA and stuff. They do the whole color.
The flags and that.
Gotcha. Is there a specific Tongan influence gang in America?
I think like just Tongan Crip.
Yeah.
But I think growing up there, like you just see all the older heads, you know, like they gangsters, and then you just want to be like them. And then
it starts going.
Mm. Yeah,
it's kind of similar here. Yeah. Man. It's the same story. You know, you see all the OGs and that you want to be like them.
Then when you get older, you're like, damn, this guy's a loser.
Damn, we really are the same. Yeah, actually, is the same.
In your opinion, what's your favorite, or what do you reckon is the top hairstyle or your top three hairstyles?
I like the burst fade.
Yeah.
The burst fade, what's that?
Yeah, it's kind of like a rugby haircut, or might be just a haircut and or making up haircuts.
I'm the best.
Is that like
bull runner?
Kind of. Well, the far as long and it kind of goes like.
What's your one called?
Oh.
Man, I was trying to copy you guys here in Australia.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's hectic.
So this is like a mullet or?
Yeah,
I'm
mullet.
Trying to
grow
out the back.
But
still got a long ways to go.
It's a big thing here for to rock a mullet here in Australia. Even the Balangis like it.
They
despise you if you cut off your mullet. I don't know why. But
haircuts are big in Australia. I don't know if it's the same case as Tonga in America.
Now in Tonga, it's crazy. Like people get, it's like how they're here, or like America. Like everybody gets a fresh cut every week. Get ready to go out.
Yeah, I did mention on a podcast before and a couple of my social platforms to get your haircuts on Monday just to set yourself up for the week.
Yeah.
Because we're used to getting haircuts on Thursdays and Fridays, getting ready to go out and splurge our money. And it was just one of the small things I changed in my habits. And it helped me to be able to conduct different businesses, because for weeks I'll be like, I'll get a haircut on Thursday, Friday, go out, spend money, and then by Monday, I'm not only recovering, but I feel ugly as well,
Because
it is therapy. Getting a haircut, like, you refresh.
Mm.
I posted that, and a lot of people are a bit upset about that. What do you reckon?
I seen that video when you were talking about Monday. I never thought about it either.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think it's smart, too. Mm. Because, like, you get a haircut on Friday, and then by Monday, you look like you never got a haircut.
Yeah.
I don't know, you're planning for the weekend.
Yeah.
Planning for Monday, that's better.
You see?
You have any advice?
You guys heard it from a barber himself, you see?
You have any advice for new entrepreneurs? Tongans, when we did start this, a lot of Tongans are reaching out. They're excited because a lot of them want to take that risk, take that step. Yeah. They've seen a vision and maybe they're too scared because of our culture. We're not used to starting something. What would be an advice you could give out?
Start now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Even though you ain't got it, you're scared, just start.
And you'll learn along the way.
Yeah, you'll learn along the way.
Yeah.
You just got to start. You can't just sit and wait for the right time.
Or wait for something to happen.
So, yeah, that's my advice. Like, if you got something going on, you might as well go for it.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that you had to deal with when it came to business? And how did you overcome it?
One of the barbers was, every time when it came to the to pay his rent, like he always had an excuse, and I'll just let it slide. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And it'll come to the next week, same thing. And then I was like, this nigga playing with me.
This nigga trying to get shot.
So then I was like, I'm gonna wait till this week. Then he did the same thing. So I messaged him and told him like, hey, like I need my money. And he was telling me, he was making up all these excuses that he got to do all this stuff. So then I fired him, but he still had the key to the barbershop. So this nigga went to the barbershop, took everything.
Damn. Away, and you had to start from scratch.
Well, he took all the tools.
Yeah.
Name and shame this fool.
Wow.
And I was buying the stuff from out here, and it's like the good stuff. Like I wanted some, because that's what I was giving the barbers. I was buying them the clippers and stuff from out here. And it's like $300 for one.
And how do you ensure that something like this doesn't happen again for your business?
Did you put some security measures in place that this doesn't happen again?
Well, now, like the barbers that I have now, like I finally found some good people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
These will be the same ones in your videos, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So.
With the whole content thing, that was crazy too. Like, I didn't even I'm shy to be doing all that.
Yeah.
So one of the this is upcoming artist from Wellington, Kiri Docs. Mm. So he came and he did. That's how it all started. He started doing those videos and I kind of just followed.
Shout out to Kiri Docs.
Kiri Docs,
shout out to the bro. Yeah. Shout out to Small Town Cuts back in Tonga. You can hit us up. Hit me up on IG Saibakola, and Ofas.
He's in Australia. We were so excited. It's been a pleasure to meet this guy. It's our first time speaking to someone outside the country. For those of you who do know about our cases, we can't leave the country. So thank you so much. Thank you so much, man, for coming.
Shout out to the brother. And he's just another example of that we can make it happen, as a people, as a community. It's never too late, no matter what age you are. Hearing his background, he came from Tonga just like us, and now he's a millionaire. So shout out to the toko.
Make sure you guys hit him up on Instagram.
Hit him up for some money if you guys.
He's got some awesome content coming out, man. Have a watch. If you, especially if you're Tongan or Islander, have a look through it. They got some very unique content, and he's also got content inside Tonga. You never really see content creators come out of Tonga.
You're probably the first that we've seen. Yeah. The first that we've seen, because we've never seen any content coming out of Tonga.
Yeah, so that's what Kiri Docs was telling me to do. He was like, man, you might as well do it. Ain't nobody doing it.
Get hard, man.
I reckon you're going to pave the way for like a lot of new businesses in Tonga as well.
Yeah, I hope.
That's it, man. It's all in your hands. Much love. Thank you. There's anything else that you wanted to quickly shout out?
Man, shout out to y'all for
your
platform to talk about small town cuts.
Yeah, thank you guys.
That's mean. And maybe on the table, off the cameras, we can talk and potentially see if we can do something together as well. Because I'm looking to open up a barber shop as well. So, there you go.
Man.
Guys, here you guys go. This is Bros and Cons giving you guys the ropes. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Much love to everyone. Love and light. Blessings. We'll see you guys in the next episode.
Let's go.
She still wanna hang with a crew, yeah. When a call comes, we move. A queen like you will never understand the things that we do.